you know? And in that way, these films work. Okay, so we're going to start with a quiz, and then actually, Adam, I might just swap it around, but I actually might do the video. See, I thought I might lose them halfway through, so I thought I'd put the video in there. Oh, let's stay as it is. Let's go as it is. Okay. Okay, so we're going to do a quick quiz, and then a little introduction to the book of Proverbs, what I'm going to say today, talk about a thing called moralism, and then look at a video, and then da-da-da-da-da, and then we end up at communion. Okay, so that's where we're going. Okay, so somebody who's under 18, does anybody under 18 not know who this is? Anybody over 18 not know who this is? Ah, very good. Where have you? Okay, somebody under 18, tell us who's this? Neymar, that's right. So his job is a footballer. That's his job. Now, again, somebody under 18, tell me why he's been in the news this week. MD, say somebody from this bit here. MD under 18. That's right. So he's a footballer who's moving from one club, Barcelona, to Paris Saint-Germain for £200 million, or £198 million, which is a sort of record fee. And so what do you get for £200 million if you're buying something, right? So obviously, he's a fantastic footballer. That's a given. He's very talented. The club are going to get fantastic merchandising from him because he's a handsome fella and he's, you know, quite stylish. It gives a statement about the club itself. You know, this club want to be in the premier elite clubs of Europe. If they've got the most expensive player in the world, they spent the most on a player, that kind of gives them a bit of gravitas that they've actually managed to do that, and they've brought this player with them. And there's lots around the brand. But also there'll be a sense of, does this person that we're buying have integrity, and what's the character? You remember someone like, in a similar field, Tiger Woods, who was like the face of golf and the face of Nike for a while, because they invested enormously in him. But then he went off the rails a bit, you know, relationship problems and different things like that. And all of a sudden, the companies didn't want him to be the face representing them. So his character flaws, if you like, undermined the financial investment and what he was worth. So here's a quiz. Okay, so now you have to do this really quickly. There's three answers I need, okay? So if somebody can give me the three answers quickly. Now, you just need to have a little thing. I'm assuming a footballer works 40 hours a week, and we all know they don't. They work about, you know, 10 hours a week, you know, a bit of training and a football match. But let's just pretend he works for 40 hours a week, okay? So the questions are, there's three people I've identified, and the question is, how long does Neymar have to work until he's reached the annual salary of these three people, okay? So very quick, okay? So that would be that one, that's general practitioner. Okay, anyone want to give me a quick guess on these three things? For which one? 2 hours for the top one, very close. Yep, it's about an hour. Half a day for the GP, and maybe a full day for Theresa May. I think she's paid about 170,000, I think. But he's about £25,000 an hour on that wage, I think, roughly, if you could. So, that leads us into Proverbs and relationships. We're thinking about how we build good relationships and how we view others, yeah? Now, the world and society views Neymar as a very expensive, very expensive person. His worth is 200 million over 4 years. Proverbs is a book, and I just wanted to sort of introduce the format for Proverbs. You know, in the Bible, there's lots of different types of books. There's books which simply tell what happened. So things like the Gospels tell what happened when Jesus was alive and he walked in. There's other ones in the Old Testament that tell us historically what happened to the Israelites as they were in Egypt and came out. And then there's other books where things like the books of the prophets, where an individual is there to say, what does God say to us at this time and to you people at this time? And he tells them what God is saying to them. So it doesn't tend to have a historical thing. Then there's other books like called apocalyptic books, where it's very, very picturesque, colorful language, and often about what's coming and looking into the future a bit, like Revelation or Daniel. And then there's a book like Proverbs, which kind of stands on its own. And it's a little book with just lots of the structure of the book is all the book is just got two lines as a sort of verse. And these lines either have the first line, which is then contrasted with the second line, or it has a first line, which is then reinforced by the second line. And that's the same way through the whole book. Now, in the original language, a lot of these, because it's very small, punchy language, the original language, they would have a lot of alliteration and rhyming in it. So it would have bum, 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 da, 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 dum, bum. And it would really sound really good to the ear to help it make them more memorable. Once it's translated in English, we lose all that because it doesn't rhyme in English. It doesn't have alliteration stuff. So we lose that. We're just left with the actual things. But the reason that's there is that it was easy to remember, and all these sayings would be quite easy and punchy and easy for people to remember. And it tells us at the beginning of the book that the book was really written and directed. If I just read a couple of verses at the very beginning, it says, this is for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. Knowledge and discretion to the young. And so the purpose of the book was, in a sense, particularly directed at young people, and that's why it's good that youth are with us today. It was directed at young people setting out in their lives and working out what it looks like to be a follower of God in that time and place. And these verses were given as things to say, this is what it would look like to be a follower of under God in this time. Okay? The fact that when it comes to relationships, it's virtually all addressed towards a young man. You know, if you look at all the relationship verses, it's all about choosing a good wife, not choosing the people you shouldn't choose, like prostitutes and someone else's wife. And that's what the majority of verses, when you look at the relationship verses, are. I'd like to open it out a bit more and say it is directed at young people, and I think a lot of the verses, if God asks young people, if God is saying to young people, young men, this is what you should see in a young woman or look for in a young woman, in the same way God would be saying to young women, this is what you would be looking for in a young man. So I like us to look beyond that. And if you're not a young man or a young woman, it again goes on to say, if you're already wise, and that's addressing the rest of the people here, it says you can add to your wisdom. So for the rest of us, we can add to wisdom by listening to the words. So I hope we'll get there. Right. Now, does anybody between the age of, I'm not giving age range, who knows who this man is? Nope. Steve Talk does have a radio mic like that, but no, it's not him. It does look like him. That's right. It does, yeah. Nope. Correct. Okay, so this is Tony Robbins. Now, what his job is, unlike, he's actually very wealthy, almost as wealthy as Neymar, but he has a different job. Now, his main job is as a motivational speaker, and he's developed lots of books and talks and seminars, and he goes into lots of places, industries. You can sign up just as an individual to go to one of his seminars, and he gives you lots of tips. That's good. How'd that happen? Okay, he gives you lots of tips and advice. Don't use the word tips again. He gives you lots of insights into how you can improve your life. You want to be richer? Come to the Getting Rich seminar. You want to be happier? Come to the Get More Happiness seminar. Any part of your life, he's got a seminar on. He's got a series of DVDs which you can download. I'll give you the thing at the end now. And all these things, and the key thing is, he talks without reference to God. So he's not a Christian, I don't know what his faith position is, but his seminars are not saying you must have God in your life to see these improvements or to see change in your life. It's saying without that, as long as you adhere to these series of steps that I will give you, you will see the improvement. Follow the rules, you will see the result. Now, in The important thing here is that this moralism, I'll call it, is people who say, if we do a certain things, for example, say in Jesus' time, the moralists were the Pharisees. They had a very strict code of rules. If you do this, and don't do you will be saved, and you will be safe in God. And as long as you keep doing these and don't do these, you'll be safe. The people Jesus found most difficult were the Pharisees. Was it because they were terribly horrible people? No. It's because they were trying to manipulate or say to people, if you do the rule thing, the moralist thing, that's the right way. And Jesus was saying, I'm coming to you with a message of relationship. This is about you connecting with me, with God, and in that connection, we will come and live in you and transform you from the inside. Now, the outwards end up often looking the same. The Pharisees prayed, they tithed, they did lots of things which, again, followers of God did. But the motivation was different, and sometimes it's subtle. And here's the thing, that's never gone away. And in fact, every time, and the reason I want to really point this out is that, you know, whether it's somebody like Tony Robbins who tells you do these steps and that's how you achieve it, or whether it's somebody standing at the front and say, you know, I've got the Bible, I'll throw a few verses at you, but do this, and you get that. We've got to have our moralist radar up saying, is what's been offered to us, whether it's a sermon or what we read, is that coming the way that Jesus has said is the right way to access it? Okay, so this is something which we have to have this radar on all the time, because it's so easy. As humans, it's so much easier to say, just give me the rules. I'll take the medicine if you just make it simple and give me the rules and I'll follow it. That's so much easier than the messiness of having a relationship with God or with each other and discovering what we're like and doing difficult things. So that's always there. And the reason I bring this up just now is when we read Proverbs, again, you've got to say, it says do this or don't do this, but you always have to keep bringing it back to saying, before God and in my relationship with God, as he is transforming from the inside, this is where it will end up, rather than just, okay, this is good, a book of rules. I'll not bother with relationship, I'll just do the rules. Okay, so that's really why I point that out for this book, but for lots of things. Good, we got to the video. Right, Adam? Okay. Let's just watch, just short video. Need sound, Adam?
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam. That's great. So that's from, anyone know the film? Well, I think it said it. Sense and Sensibility, of course. You all read Austin regularly. Okay. I knew that. See, as wise people, you read the classics. Good, good. Okay. Okay, so let's get to the verses that we want to read. These are up on the screen. So let me just read these through. A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Better to live in a desert than with a nagging and quarrelsome partner. I've changed wife to partner on account of the... because it would be true both ways, obviously. I particularly want to just focus on the middle one. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And I want us to, as we approach these verses, realize or think that in Proverbs, I say a lot of verses are about, say, a young man looking and thinking of a wife, but it's much bigger than that. And as we read it through, and the principles that we're thinking about apply far more than that. You know, whether it's a woman thinking of a man, or whether it's thinking about deepening a friendship with people. Like, for example, I meet with some of the gents in this church and outside this church on a Thursday for prayer. And these friendships that we're forming there, you know, it's the same thing that I'm applying to a deepening friendships there, the qualities that I'm looking for. And so this verse helps us recognize that when we meet people or when we're with people, there's certain surface or very immediate things that can appeal to us. You know, somebody's charm, Mr. Willoughby, the ultimate charmer, and that's that thing. As you know, those who've read Sense and Sensibility have seen the film, it doesn't end up being a very noble man, despite that impeccable charm on his first thing. You know, there can be looks, people's, you know, I was going to put a picture of myself up here, but I thought, you know, I'm modest, so I won't. So apparently this chap's say good looking, you know, again, I don't know, maybe the ladies can agree with that. There's also certain people who have real style and you know, people like David Beckham, or even for Dave Bentley, I put in an old Merseyside style picture. Kevin Keegan there in his finest. And we're taught. So when we meet people, within seconds we know something about their appearance. We can tell whether they're good looking or how charming they are. These happen within seconds or minutes, and their fashion style. You know, these things. These are surface things which we can actually appreciate within minutes of meeting somebody. But these are the things that the Proverbs guides us to. You know, a person's character. You know, where they're at in terms of developing good character in their own life. It talks about wisdom. It talks about searching for people who are wise and of noble character in that verse. And also about praising the woman who fears the Lord. You know, looking for folks who are on a journey of faith. You know, it's so important that particularly with selecting partners, that often, you know, they could be all of the, you know, they could be Premier League in terms of their style, looks, charm, and those surface things. But if they're somebody who's not on the same journey as us, trying to follow God, follow Jesus, it can put a real strain on relationships. So again, the Proverbs speaking to these young people, saying when you're going out there looking for somebody to you, please think about where the other person is on their spiritual journey. It's such an important thing. New Testament reaffirms that as well, that we should be trying to seek out others who are on a similar journey of faith that we're on. I mean, we all know people who have ignored that advice and started a journey with somebody who's not in the same place, and it just puts a lot of extra hardship onto their journey. And other people who've married somebody, but then one of the partners has lost their faith. And again, that can put strains on things. So the Proverbs says, if you can, you know, pay attention to these things. It's almost saying, like a lot of things in life, the things which are easy, like being attracted to somebody who's attractive or being charmed by somebody who's charmed, these are easy. And we can all manage that. We can manage that on our own strength, if you like. But looking beyond that to somebody's character, where they're at in their journey of faith, their wisdom, takes more time. It takes patience. It takes some time to get to know. And, you know, it takes longer. And Proverbs is saying, take that time, particularly if you're taking these decisions to invest in somebody as a partner or invest in somebody as a close friend who's going to journey with you. Take the time to discover these things. In a similar way, you know, we can then take these same verses and say, if we're asking this young man or young woman to look for this in other people, that's a mirror we can put up to ourselves and say, it's the exact same for ourselves. Are we investing in these aspects of our own development and growth as much as perhaps, you know, the Rocker John Rocker shirt that I've got on, or, you know, the fancy shoes I've got on today? You know, are we investing in that character development and spiritual development inside as much as we're doing for the surface things, the things which people immediately judge us by? And so, you know, that the qualities that God's looking for in a potential partner, a potential friend, are the things that we can ask of ourselves as well. So really how I'd like to apply this is really three ways. Just a reminder that when it comes to relationships, whether it's a friendship or something more lasting or something, you know, like a partner, we've got the choice to focus on those very immediate and surface qualities and in some way neglect the more deeper things. But the deeper are the lasting ones. That's the things that are going to see the friendship or the relationship through in the long term. And we do well to invest in that, the time and effort to get to know somebody and to get to see what they're like and see whether we're compatible and see whether we really point the same ways in terms of our journey of faith. In the same way, I say, we turn that mirror on ourselves, we want these things for ourselves to become wise, substantial, honest, self-giving people, all the fruits of the Spirit. And of course, the fruits of the Spirit come from a relationship and come from being changed from the inside because of a relationship with Jesus and inviting him into our lives, inviting him into those, you know, when we go back to work tomorrow, when we are at home, it's inviting him into all these situations saying, you know, I feel a real tension at work. I feel a real, you know, something's not right there. Lord, I invite you into what's going on here? How is this, what's happening here? Using situations, difficulties at work, difficulties at home, as a trigger to say, Lord, I need you in me and in this other person or in this situation so that we can work out what's going on and how to move forward in it. Maybe it's a time for me to grow. Maybe it's a time for character development with me. Maybe there's something miraculous you're going to do in that situation. But are we in that sort of relationship where we're taking our everyday things before him in prayer and asking him, you know, reading, obviously Bible reading and prayer, but bringing these everyday things before him and asking him to be a part of that. And just again, always having that sense of, am I doing this in a moralist way or am I doing this through relationship with him? And just having that radar out for every time that we come to something. Do we, if you like, take the easier path of just following a few rules to try and make it happen, or do we do it through relationship and transformation from the inside? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you care enough about each one of us that you want us to develop and grow. You don't want to leave us where we're at. You know there's weaknesses, there's issues in our lives that we need to move forward in to be that people that can then bless those people around us. And the needs around us at times are so obvious that we want to be equipped and ready to be part of your answer to these problems. And we thank you that you've given us the way that Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, and you will see fruit. You've said that when you come into our hearts, we will see change. And that following you is the path that you call us to. So Lord, whether it's, as we've talked about today, in helping us choose and to be sensible and to be wise with our relationships, or whether it's just in our day-to-day interactions with people who we're not necessarily going to become the best of friends with or become married to. In all these things, oh Lord, it's the same thing. We want you to be in our midst, present in us, changing us, that we might bless those around us. So thank you. And just pray that you would maybe highlight a situation in our own lives, or just as we're thinking this through, that, you know, you might just be saying, hey, there's an area that I really want to get, I want to be more part of that area. Invite God into that part, that he might transform you, and in that be able to transform the situation. We ask this in your precious Son's name, who wants all things to be reconciled to himself.